Bai, bada, ba, uste da zaman gua hori gari maian. Zer ez da oso da, espesio gara eta gudan ez da gizka. Gudan ez da gara, gara, lesson number 49, the day is March 22nd, 2010. We're just about to develop the Atlantic culture. We're taking some of the new work around. We're going to go to the areas you can see, because the average member of the Atlantic human race knows that the Atlantic culture, even if they're part of either one of two kingdoms, the kingdom which is a client nation to God, or a kingdom which is a client nation to Satan. The average person is simply living for today, one day at a time, and we're studying it out. I pray that this process, I pray you to make sure you are full of spirit of absolute objectivity, the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? God, now we thank you for the privilege of teaching the Word, for your Word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your Word will not return void. We'll accomplish all that you desire for. We ask you to sanctify and bless them in Christ's name. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to take one more look at the fall here today. We came from a little bit different and more expanded viewpoint, though. Quickly, so we can get into the results of the fall. All right, we look at the temptation first of all. The first step in the temptation was taken by the woman. The serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field, which was the Lord God had made, and he said unto them, that knew that God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Eve had made herself in love with the serpent. And when I know this was the first time, that means that they talked together at all. Then the wind hung around wherever she was. She was hanging around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She went to the spot of temptation. And there she met the old serpent. The second step was taken by the serpent. The serpent said the word in question, which had apparently innocent, but which contained an insinuation doubting of God's word, like God said. And also the serpent doubts the Lamb of God, adjusting God, magnifying the one prohibition and minimizing the excessive permissions. The third step was taken by the woman. She decided to teach the serpent some theology. And it was found to him by her understanding. She says that she understood part of the mandate that was given in Genesis 2:16-17. And that God commanded man, saying, "Every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of the good, the knowledge of good, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt eat of it, for the day that thou shalt die, and thou shalt surely die."
She left out the word freely. 12 and 16 and 19.
at Miss Thompson and Neil Martin Stein, who won the last class in the King Rovers. Let's take another look at this very important passage for a minute, and we quickly move on. Romans 5:12. Therefore, my sister, my mother, sent it into the room, and that their son is their best bread, divine in. Verses 12 to 21, Paul contrasts Beth and Adam with life in Christ. Just as Adam's sin brought certain results, so did the death of Christ. It just is about me, automatic salvation for men must receive the grace God offers. You can read the rest of the passage, verses 13 to 19. We read it twice in the last class. There are results of it that I'm going to report on in particular. The paradox of a suitable personal appearance accompanied by conscious and nakedness can follow immediately. Verses 37, their eyes of them both were open and knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made of themselves aprons. Compare that to Psalm 104:2.
Grace, and then about to establish their own righteousness.
Lord Jesus Christ. A crown in fear of God, immediately came in, verses 8 to 10. And we heard the verse, and now God walking in the garden, the cool of the burning Adam, and his wife who hid themselves, and now God called unto Adam and said unto him, now God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard that voice in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself. The God has said, I heard fear of God, and it's so glad I hurt you at all. But this gave them joy and pleasure in God's presence. That's where they placed them as a result of the fall of our kind of attitude of mind and heart, which indicated them, which inclined themselves to flee from God's presence and to hide themselves from God. So it separated man from man. Not only does man hid themselves in the presence of God among the trees of the garden, so how it separates man from the face of God. So there's a harvest up there, so there's a wrap, so there's a business that separates him from the family. The final verse of the word is when sin enters into the heart, it puts an impassable chasm between self and the hand of the Holy God. Impassable so far as man is concerned, impassable except by the very cross of Christ. And when he hid themselves in the presence of the Lord, sin separates. The fire has started man's vision of God, and the man found out and said, where are you? And he said, I heard that voice in the garden and I was afraid. Fear was upon him. The thinking was distorted. Wasn't I rather afraid of God? Had God not been his friend and benefactor? Was God not his cruel of God? Had God not done everything for him? Had not bestowed upon him all the riches of his creation? Why was I afraid? Because sin had destroyed his vision of God. Sin always destroys man's vision of God. How strange that men spend all their lives in one great endeavor to get away from God. And yet this is not strange in the light of man's unconfessed and unforgiven sin. Adam was afraid because he had sinned. When the theologian first wrote, I remember when I was a man, if I had been told of a desert place where God was not all my plans and purposes, we had been concentrating on what happened to me when I started starting with my view of God. And there was a thing that I tried to say, there was nothing of the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of all mercy and grace to be found in the heart of God. For a sinner world, God's cry goes out, Adam, where art thou? It's the cry that has come down to the ages. Seeking man doesn't seek God, seeking him to save him from his last condition, but man still has in the presence of God. God's love was provided in the Savior, for God so loved the world, and gave his only begotten Son, so believe him shall not perish from the everlasting life. And God said, my Son, the Lord, and done the law. The Lord can never be saved, he would believe in him, he is not condemned, he would believe in him, he is condemned by any of the persons that believe in him, and the only begotten Son of God. We accept and trust Christ. His redeeming love and grace, we have no need to be afraid of his voice. We have no need to hide from his presence, but when we reject the Savior, then we have every reason to fear. Hebrews 10:31 says, a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But the very righteousness that Christ alone can give God, we must fear God. Many people are hiding from God today. Understand that Jesus Christ came into the world seeking to save that which was lost. To save the lost. Now, man was caught up in the craving fear. But God would hope immediately the introduction of the Redeemer. For so after the fall of man, God promised a Redeemer, and we see that man's failure in saying God came with the lamp of promise and the promise of a Savior that's not burned better and better all through the Old Testament days until the star of Bethlehem appeared and the angel announced the birth of the promised one. It was this lamp that lighted up the sin of man's failure and displayed the darkness. The very first promise of this coming redeemer was uttered when God spoke to the serpent, saying, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. This is 3:15. Thus began the great line of messianic promise, which runs like a scarlet thread throughout the whole the Savior would have a living mother, but not a living father. The son of Henry was to bruise the serpent's head, but the head speaks of dead men, and the bruising of the head is prophetic of the own appeal of Satan's kingdom and the liberation of his captives. The head of the son of woman was to be bruised, prophetic of the Redeemer's death. The head is a part of physical body, and his death, the hands and the feet of the Savior, were pierced even as the prophecy foretold. The provisions of the Lord of righteousness on the basis of the death of the Savior, the son of woman, were next suggested in 3:21. Genesis 3:21, under Adam, also in his right to the Lord God, make coats of skin and clothing. To make the coats of skin, the animals had to be sacrificed. Meaning this rites of divinely provided garment that the first sinners might be made fit for God's presence. Excuse me. The coats of skin can only be made on the basis of death. To take the skin from Adam is first to destroy the life, and also a prophetic picture on the basis of death. The death and son of God man would be clothed in the garment of righteousness that would fit in the presence of the only God. God the Son appearing in a Christophany pre-incarnate appearance. Revealed himself to Adam in the garden and Eve, slaughtering the animals, talking the doctrine of sacrifice, and clothing them the skins of redemption, to show their redemption. They were redeemed by the blood of by the future coming blood of the crucified one. Now, I want you to picture this. Picture the basis of death, the death of the Son of God, man would be clothed in a garment of righteousness, which would fit him in the presence of a holy God. We see that when man fell, he made himself aprons of privilege, and God took those aprons around and made them a covering that in his own making. When the feet of those aprons, God did not put one stitch, it was all the work of man, and the coats of skin, man did not put one stitch, it was all the work of God. When Adam and Eve could be clothed with skins, the feet of those aprons, the work of their own hands had to be taken away. They had to be willing to exchange their aprons for the garments of God and provision. They had to be willing for the substitution to be made. There are two aprons in the world today which give man a false hope, as represented by the figurative aprons of that which makes man fit to stand in the presence of God. Christianity, which is not truly a religion. Christianity is represented by the skins, the seed of the woman, the promise, the heart of the seed, we call it. To Abel, who was buried by the dead of Cain, the substitution became Seth, Genesis 4:25. To Noah, Genesis 6:8-10. To Shem, Genesis 9:26 and 27. To Abraham, Genesis 12:1-4, to Isaac, Genesis 17:19-21, to Jacob, Genesis 28:10-14, to Judah, Genesis 49:10, to David, 2 Samuel 7:15-17, to the Emmanuel Christ, Isaiah 7:9-14, to Matthew 1:1, 1 John 3, 1 John 3:8, and John 12:31, and the trail, the seed, the higher seed, guaranteeing what was to come. The hope was there. The promise was given. The hope of works, the human word production of mankind is seen, the fig leaf coverings is of no value. The other is grace. God does everything in grace. The hope prevents man's pure efforts to save himself, the other rests upon Christ, providing when he died, everything we need in provision, when he died on Calvary, when he poured out his soul in atonement to sin, when his body became the altar and his soul became the sacrifice. When he suffered the spiritual death on the cross, when he bore the wrath of God in penalty for sin, and when he suffered the physical death, his burial, and the victorious victory over death and resurrection body. The fig leaf is the work of human good, the work of mankind, the work of religion. The former has the curse of God resting upon it, while the latter, the faith, rests in Christ, trusting Christ, the seed need to come outside, brother, with him. Well, first, the presence of God throughout all eternal ages. In Luke 15:21, the Father says, bring forth the best robe and put it on it. God the Father must put the robe of righteousness around us at the moment that we are redeemed by the blood of the crucified one. Now, we come to man's ruin. We see man expelled from the garden. They lost their personal appearance before God, but were afraid of God. They were expelled from the garden. Therefore, the Lord God sent forth man from the garden, sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, he placed at the east of the garden the Eden cherubim and flaming sword, who stand every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Man was driven out in exile, total exile. There was no utopia for him, sir. As Timothy was told by Paul, man is ever living but never coming to realize the truth. As the fellowship of the race had been vested in Adam, his actions were representative. The same therefore was racial as well as individual. Hence, there are results which came from the entire species as a consequence of Adam's sin. The fall of Adam was great. Now, let's take a minute and look from creation to recreation. We have taught you and showed you the original creation, which according to scripture seems to have been the dominion of Lucifer and his angelic world of spirit beings, which we call the sons of Eliphaz from the Persian Psalm, Hell being the basic name of God. The scripture says when the good God created the heavens and the earth, and when you read the verse and the earth was out firm and void, as my friend Pastor Phillips down in Gay, California, pointed out to me very clearly, you know, it's says some of them after years of teaching, it does not say the universe was without form and void. It says the earth was without form and void. How right it is. How right it is. This was the gap. In the beginning, which was without beginning, God, in the sheath, Elohim, Barah manufactured the heavens and the earth out of nothing. The chaos of the earth came, the earth was without form and void as a result of the fall of Lucifer, who became Satan and had defiled man, attempted to be worshipped as God by the spirit beings. The elevation of the chaotic earth, which took place during the 6 days referred to in Genesis chapter 1, left Adam and Eve in the state of innocence in the Garden of Eden. We saw man's original state, and we saw his fall, and God's first promise of redeemer. In the Garden of Eden, man did not know experientially good and evil. Man knew theoretically good and evil because man was told to obey God. That has to be divine good. To disobey God has to be evil. Never forget the lesson that Adam was tested on. He was tested on, do I believe God or not? Do I obey God or not? It's that simple. And it was only one test. Now, the age of innocent number, the age of conscience, and then immediately begin all within the dispensation of man for the Gentiles. And God passes down through different chronological ages and dealing more within the dispensations of where we're at. We are dispensational religions. We are in dealing with here the dispensation of the Gentiles or the dispensation of man. In Ephesians 3:2, we read, I have by revelation of my mind thus to let, I'm sorry, verse 2, verse 2, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. The dispensation of the grace of God. There's the dispensation of the spirit beings, the sons of El, which ran the original creation. through their judgment before God that led to the creation of the restoration of the earth and the creation of the man. For man, the first dispensation is the dispensation of man, which is Adam, because Adam is a general name in Hebrew for man in general, a generic term for him, including women, are the Gentiles. This dispensation is divided into the Age of Innocence in the Garden before the Fall. Too many ages, the Age of Individuality when Adam was alone, and the many age of marriage before the Fall. I think about 1900 years has passed, but time did not count. Adam and Eve were not aging. You understand? They are under the age of conscience. The immediate result of the Fall. What I've heard us in the great means is stewardship. And what we have for dispensations is God is working through different stewards. He was here working through the redeemed mankind. First through innocent mankind, and then through redeemed mankind. Now every age continues the same. There is a new beginning, there is sin, there is failure, there is judgment. New beginning, sin, failure, and judgment. We'll say it occurred in the age of conscience, it occurred in the age of government, beginning at the fall and the flood. It occurred in the age of law of promise on the patriarchs. It occurred in the age of law. It occurred when Christ came in the age of the Christophany. I'm sorry, incarnation, hypostatic union, we also call it. He came literally to the earth. First incarnation, first advent, I should say. And it ended with Christ being placed upon a cross and crucified by cruel and wicked hands. Occurred in the apostolic age, which began in great promise among the believers and ended with the church torn apart as seen in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Continued down through the history of the church age, which chapters 2 and 3 define out and develop out of, seven types of churches right down to where we're at today, and will continue to the rapture of the church. As believers settle down the world system and by what we will see will be the Adamic culture more than the Christian way of life and living as a heavenly people. God has a plan. And the chronological age of dispensation. Dispensation is the general group that God is exercising stewardship through. First it was angelic beings, the sons of El, spirit beings. Then it was through Gentiles, but God only deals with those who he has a relationship with, therefore through the redeemed. Then through the Hebrew people, through their ages, the age of promise, the age of law, the age of the incarnation, future age of the tribulation of Israel. God is dealing in grace through the age of the apostles, which is gone, or the age of the local church. He will have a kingdom age in the future yet to come, dispensation, which he will deal through the believers there. Presence of God, on his own. God is in capable of removing life. Now, if I were better and better up in Eden, we could in this world again. When I was over there in the kingdom, Christ will send judgment upon nations and the earth will not fall for years, Zechariah says. The kings fail to come up to the point where they're supposed to be Christ. Once a year. My ancestor could be more pure. Adam was created by God. From Adam to Abraham, we have a pure ancestry, separated as it were from things at the fall, and the fact that they were living for the land, they were living for God, and all of that. The sons of Abraham, they were all would fail, though. Isaac and Jacob failed, Judah failed, but they were redeemed, man falls. God moved from the little man about where man to recover himself, but man is still around his own set of weakness and needs. Therefore, all these trials of man in different circumstances of the Old Testament time, from giving order to prepare him for the coming of the world of the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, independent of God, has ever sought self-reformation. But everything he has conceived, the solution to all our needs, its service, clouds, problems, and sound, everywhere they fail, man needs a Savior, and God has, from the beginning, tried to show him that all about faith in the shed blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, can live hope for heaven and earth and eternity with him. How patient is God, and is his patience that has made him give man trial after trial, even though failure after failure followed each new beginning. We must never forget that today's man is no longer in a trial. Man's trial has passed before it was lost. The verdict of the world is guilty before God, Romans 3:19. But thanks be to him, he has provided a way of escape from that awful penalty of guilt and sin, for he himself has borne the iniquity of us all. Age of innocence, the age of conscience, the age of human government, the age of promise from Abraham to Sinai, the age of wrath from Sinai to grace to Christ, the age of hypostatic union, the age of grace, the kingdom of heaven, the age of authority, the reign of Christ yet to come.
The Son of Man being forced to work exceedingly hard
this is part one of the doctrine of Adamic culture, signs of the times, if you want to take it down categorically. The son of a man being first to work exceedingly hard just to provide for his wife, his children, and himself. The very basic necessities of life, food, shelter, clothing, and security. Verses 3:17-19a. And Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto thee, first thy wife has eaten the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground, thy sake and sorrow shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thy grass and thistle shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou returneth unto the ground. Hard work is going to be the principle. The actions of God's justice was bringing with mercy, for work was and is a real blessing to man in his fallen state. Alright, remember, generation life proportion of the Adamic human race has been forced to struggle just to survive. Here's some key principles for you. Every generation of large portion of the Adamic human race has been forced to struggle just to survive. The Father's divine judgment on Adam placed the impact of this judgment primarily on the shoulders of a man. The rise of feminism with its resulting impact is, and the divine institution of marriage has resulted in this judgment now affecting a large portion of the female population as well as the male population. The abolishment of liberalized slavery in the 19th century has led to the largest refugee populations in the world history. Slaves, they are driven from their homes and forced to live in large refugee camps, living by the scraps from the table of foreign nations and charitable organizations. You haven't realized that that is a direct result of man's abolition of slavery. Now, I'm not promoting slavery, no, I'm bringing out to you that man is ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of truth. In this country, people are always demanding their civil rights and saying we have more and more things that we deserve. Yesterday, the United States government passed the socialized medicine bill. Yes, sir. The president's going to say the House passed it, the compromise deal that they worked out. I don't know the details, I'm mad, it doesn't matter. Government's cracked his whip again. Man is entitled to medical care. It's a divine right. It's a constitutional right, isn't it? The women are rights of all before God. No, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no one but man wants to claim his rights. Man wants that. And what happens? We're ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of truth. We're about slavery in the world. And since that time, wars have created great refugee camps. I've read a number of books written by men who served in Vietnam. Particularly men who served in special operations groups, some of whom work with and trying to help the poor in the area. Recipient Sergeant Brad Benavidez describes how they went into how they took this refugee camp and worked to improve everything that they had done. The Viet Cong came in and blew it up and killed the people. There's some terrible atrocities to them. All South Vietnamese army did nothing to prevent it. Many of the people in Vietnam were the pro South Vietnamese government, the pro North Vietnamese government, the pro the Viet Cong, they were just trying to survive. Caught up in the middle of the war, just like refugees all over the world are. And where they're at. Well, upon the signs of men placing high value in their lives, are better to be men to their children. Genesis 3:20. 3:16, and the women are greatly multiplied, thy sorrow and thy conception, sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and they shall rule over it. We'll see that in a moment, but first we see the pressure on the women. And Adam called his wife Eve, Eve, because she was the mother of all living. This stands in contrast with the Sam's culture, in which the wife life was valid is one who completes the husband while he fulfills the wife. Genesis 2, 22 and 23. 23 and 24. Adam said, this is my bone and my bone, and flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And first shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and she shall be one flesh. It shall be one flesh. That's my moral pride over the many believers as to how many children they can produce in the name of fulfilling the Father's mandate to replenish the earth without regard to their own health problems or the overall welfare of their children. They will say a famous moment with the women usurping the man's leadership role in spiritual issues. A. To instruct the serpent in the teaching of God's word around divine authority, verses 2 and 3 of chapter 3, we've given you that before. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, and the fruit of the tree of the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Moriah is a female, she was the first feminist, usurping Adam's authority as the ruler over the animals. Get that personal noun. Eve usurped Adam's authority. And she tried to instruct the serpent. As a spiritual leader in the home, which was a part of his federal headship. Moreover, after the fire, he took upon himself the spiritual authority to decide that Cain was the one chosen by the fire to provide redemption, the fallen of that of human race, Genesis 4:1. And Adam and Eve, his wife, as she consumed and bare Cain, she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She assumed that this man, the Lord gave her, which was true, he went up in the womb and gave her the child. Had to be born. But she assumed immediately that this child was to be the future redeemer. She had the authority to do this. Never after the fire, who took upon herself the spiritual authority, principally on the signs and springs out of feminist apostasy as the attempt to base faith on the most overt signs and not on the word of God. I repeat, one of the signs that springs out of feminist apostasy is the attempt to base faith on emotional overt signs and not on the word of God. Further, the sign of the satanic questioning concerning the truth of divine revelation and divine inspiration, Genesis 3:3. In the rest of the garden, God has said, too, says the woman said, around the serpent asking, as God said, you can't eat the tree. Verse 3, through the which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely not die. The serpent introduces his challenge to God. First of all, the Moriah's teaching of the false doctrine of evolution by secular witnesses is a denial of the existence and of the sovereign authority of our Creator God. Sovereign God has the authority to tell us what we can eat or not eat, what we can do or not do, and He gives us great freedom today to eat anything we can eat to the glory of God. Moriah's teaching of the false doctrine of evolution is the denial of the existence and the sovereignty of God as the Creator God. Point 5, the sign of satanic direct attacks on the Word of God. That's verse 4. The serpent said to him, you shall not surely die. Once more, Satan attacked the Word of God throughout history. The 20th century brought about the loud and sermonized attacks upon the Word of God and Christian influenced nations since the Protestant Reformation and now spreading the 21st century. 6 to sign a promotional satanic lie that man can become the equal of God, Genesis 3:5. For God will know them the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. First of all, polytheistic religion is that one of the concepts is the flood derives of modern religions such as Mormonism, Mason, and the New Age have made massive inroads and then professed Bible-believing Christians. 7, the sign of emphasis upon the nutritional value of certain foods instead of accepting the fact that the Father's created all food for good when properly eaten in moderation, Genesis 3:6a. Everything God created was good. If they didn't believe it, they died because therefore not passing that test. They were evolved into a state of eternal perpetuation, in essence. That's what attack on all the meat, the promotional and unbalanced diet, with certain foods of the crown to be healthy, other foods of being unhealthy, all the wrong health conditions. The emphasis upon ascetic duty is guaranteeing spiritual and temporal value, Genesis 3:6b. And that is the true value of duty was pleasant to the eyes. Personal sexual abuse and sexuality are used by advertising agencies to deceive people into adopting value standards based upon outward appearances of the product and on their own promoting the products to establish a false system of intrinsic value. Excuse me. Man, the sign of false concept that shortcuts exist to the obtaining of knowledge and the converting of it into wisdom. And a truth to be desired to make one wise. Principal knowledge can only be obtained through studying and understanding of the material being studied. Principal true knowledge can only be obtained through the study and understanding of that which is true. Principal wisdom is not just knowledge, but the ability to correctly use the knowledge. Principal the computer and the internet is making it easy for people to obtain a massive amount of information on any given subject, but what is being lost is the assurance of the accuracy of the information being obtained. That's where the highest standard of literacy in modern world history is now in existence. Look at Daniel 12:4. And we look forward to a later date. Tribulational period. The 7th month of Daniel. The restoration of Israel from the tribulation found there after the church. Daniel 12:4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." He was to seal up the book to the end. 2 Timothy 3:7. Every enemy is never able to come to the knowledge of truth. 10, the standard of adoption of vanity morality is a personal moral standard. The sign of adoption of vanity morality is a personal moral standard. Genesis 3:6b. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. That's where man's limitations of vanity morality are further the consequences of other God and other people. 2, lack of opportunity to commit the sin, 3, ignorance of a specific sin. So, point A, the concept, if you want it, you have a right to it. That's the key services in which a person places their personal desires above the will of God in the best interest of other people for the purpose of self-gratification magnifies a large portion of this generation. The next generation is coming is loaded with this. Maybe bringing about enough. Point 11. The sign of situation ethics is a replacement for the mandates of the Word of God, Genesis 3:6e. And he gave also another also if situation ethics is based upon how I do it, I want others to join in the fall rather than singing because I think singing is good for us. That's where situation ethics teaches different strokes for different folks. So we'll do one thing and I'll do that. Most of the very fact that political correctness defends same-sex marriages, which are a paradox and therefore a hollow absurdity, is proof of situation ethics have become a standard of the times. They are a sign of the times today. Principle, the promotion of sexual degeneracy. Attacking the very definition of marriage, not only attacking the word of God, but is also attacking the order of stability within a culture. Point 13, the sign of giving honor to animals which were created lower than man that belongs to our Creator God. Eve listened to the animal when she grew and saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit to heaven and eat and gave also to her husband with her need to eat. Compare that with 1 Timothy 2:14b. But the woman who bore the seed was also in the transgression. The serpent, when he told her that the fruit of the tree would have a verbal word, that every word was necessary to become an equal of God. Being beyond the fruit of the tree, she also proved that she believed the serpent when God died a liar by telling her that any of the fruit of the tree would have a verbal word, would not cause her to die. Thus, when he was deceived in the building that the serpent was more truthful than God. First of all, this means that the moment he promoted the creature serpent above the Creator God, and this is done daily by those who promote animal rights at the expense of human rights. Point 12, the sign of false modesty within marriage. Verse 3 said, "Lo, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." But this was chapter 2, verse 24. "Now, first of the man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and shall be one flesh." Verse 25, "They were both naked, the man his wife, and were not ashamed." Thus, my mind, the problem often leads to false morality, causing sexual frustration, because many both the marriage parties have failed to understand that the father and his husband are wives to find sexual pleasure in their marital relations. I think my mind, the problem often leads to the false morality, causing sexual frustration, because many both the marriage parties have failed to understand that the father and his husband are wives to find sexual pleasure in their marital relations. 13, the sign of human will in which people try to do something on their own to cover up their sin. Operation Fig Leaves. "And their eyes and both were open, and knew that they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves extra." Principles. First of all, genitals in an attempt to cover their sins, while in modern society people often work for charitable causes and are giving money to those in need and are work to improve society, are involved in an attempt to make atonement for their sins. 14 is the sign of avoiding places where the word of God is preached, and therefore they think they can hide from God. Genesis 3:8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." They were in the forest, you might say. All the time, when I was 50 years ago, the outer Bible was accepted as the word of God, not only by believers in the United States, but also by the majority of unbelievers. Most people say that their lives were given some kind of so-called Christian burial, therefore people who attend their funerals would often hear the gospel. Today, people have no type of moral service, and it has become a so-called celebration of life, so they lost and had opportunity to preach the gospel to lost friends and loved ones of the deceased. People generally all post talk about the Bible and offer some of the advice of its contents, but in the 21st century, this has all changed. People have read the Bible for themselves. If they have any Bible knowledge, is acting by means of the radio attack on Israel, and that's false teaching and confusion is being presented on a daily basis. We'll continue on here with the next thought, the sign of better letters for the sons. We commit, Father, we thank you the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is truth in Christ's name. Amen.